Hello and welcome to this week's edition of International Media. In today's program, we'll go to London, where the press is arguing over the upcoming referendum of a possible British exit from the European Union. For our main interview of the day, we'll speak to a French scientist based in California who created a website, Climate Feedback, where members of the scientific community review the accuracy of stories written by journalists on climate change. But first, the latest media news. We start with good news over in Azerbaijan. Earlier this week, the country released the prominent investigative journalist Khadija Ismailova. The reporter had been convicted of corruption charges in September 2015, triggering international uproar. Ismailova was jailed after she probed the vast riches allegedly amassed by President Ilham Aliyev and his family. Those allegations were confirmed earlier this year by the Panama Paper leaks. Now to the UK, where a study published earlier this week said the national press coverage of the local EU referendum is heavily skewed in favour of Britain leaving the European Union, or Brexit. Of 928 articles analysed by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, 45% were in favour of leaving, while 27% were in favour of staying. The study analysed articles in nine national newspapers published during the first 2 months of the referendum campaign. The researchers also found that most articles quoted conservative politicians. Richard Bagnon, the CEO of Prime Research, which collaborated to the study, explains why that's the case.
Yeah, well, I think that's just reflective of the way that the political scene is in the UK at the moment. So the Conservative Party has long been divided over the future of Britain and Europe, with a significant number wanting us to remain and a significant number wanting us to leave. Although Cameron heads a Conservative government and the official policy is for us to stay, he has allowed his MPs to vote whichever way and to support whichever way that they choose. So this makes for great content for the newspapers to write about, as you have infighting amongst a party there, with some prominent people like Cameron on one side and Boris Johnson arguing against him on the other side.
So 45% of the articles written about the referendum are in favour of a British exit from the European Union. How do you think this influenced the referendum debate?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one, and I guess we're going to have to wait and see how the referendum actually goes. All of the polls at the moment, of course, polls notoriously can be wrong, but all of the polls at the moment suggest that Britain will actually vote to stay in the EU and not to leave. So you might wonder, well, if all the newspapers are so firmly in the camp of leaving, why might that be the case? And I think the answer to that is that in Britain, we're often identified by the type of newspaper that we read, and we aspire to be a person like the typical reader of the newspapers that we read. And so I think the papers are actually preaching to the converted with a message. So if I'm going to read The Sun, I'm perhaps going to be more likely to want to be pro-leave than I would be if I was reading one of the papers that was in support of us. So I guess the message to the people communicating is that it's really about getting the right message to the right audience. And if you're trying to convince the population that we ought to be leaving, then you need to be getting that message not in the papers that support leave, but in the papers that support us staying and trying to win the argument to an audience that needs to be swayed.
That was Richard Bagnall, the CEO of Prime Research.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
And now time to go to the United States, where a climate scientist recently launched a website where researchers can review and correct articles written about climate change. Created by Frenchman Emmanuel Vincent, who lives in California, Climate Feedback has already corrected climate change stories found in the New York Times, The Telegraph and Forbes magazine. The site uses web annotation software to enable line-by-line critiques from more than 100 volunteer scientists, pointing out what they see as errors, falsehoods, and misrepresentations. The examples of errors are numerous. In one case, have rightly claimed a mini ice age would be before Earth in 15 years. Emmanuel Vincent, a scientist with the University of California, explains why he created climate feedback.
As a scientist, I felt frustrated about reading news stories that I knew were clearly unsupported by science. And I started the project because I was concerned the public would get false information or misleading information. I also realized how hard it was for journalists themselves to keep up with the science and not be confused by all the claims we hear, often coming from self-proclaimed experts.
How do you and the other scientists pick the articles you want to review?
So we have two main criteria. Number one is the influence. Is the content shared on social media? Is it shared by a prominent outlet or a prominent voice in the climate conversation? And the number two is that the article claims to be based on science. So, of course, we cannot review every single article that meets these criteria. So we try to, you know, pick the most relevant in the conversation. But as we scale up, and we have the plan now to scale up, I think we will be able to check most of the articles that meet these two criteria.
What would you say are the most common misconceptions when it comes to climate change?
One misconception we found a lot recently is that global warming would have good and bad consequences and we would have to look at things, you know, from the bright side. But in reality, scientists keep saying that the negative impacts of climate change will far exceed the positive ones and that people and ecosystems are used to the climate of today and the period of rapid change that's coming now is causing disruptions. For instance, rising sea levels will flood many coastal cities. And also scientists say that most coral reefs in the tropics are threatened with extinction this century due to ocean warming. I think personally it's sad to lose such beautiful ecosystems, but it's also having economic impacts. Hundreds of millions of people depend on coral reefs for the food.
So you've corrected a lot of articles. Did you have any kind of feedback from media outlets?
Yes, when the scientists complete a review, we inform the authors of the articles and we got some feedback. One was from the Telegraph that issued a public correction after we reviewed an article that contained inaccuracies. Yeah, we have also received some positive feedback from journalists we have reviewed saying that the service was useful for them to improve their understanding and get contact with scientists from the field.
Emmanuel Vincent, you're from France, but you are now based in the US, and there's a lot of climate change deniers there. So how do you talk to those people in a way that is not either too simplistic or too complicated?
So our main audience is not made from the people who really deny the science of climate change, but it's not a majority of Americans. If you look at the results from the Yale Six America study, it's only about 10 to 11% of the US population who really deny the science. Most people are, you know, in between, more confused. We don't really reach out to the people who are in denial. And I think that's a misconception. People think maybe there are so many of them, while in reality, it's not as prominent. Now, many people don't really know or might not care about climate change, but our audience is mostly made of journalists and, you know, people who want to learn and have solid reference about what's actually credible in the news.
I have a feeling that some journalists might tell you what you do is some kind of nitpicking because they try to address those issues as simply as possible.
Yes, I think scientists have to be aware of that. It's not about being exactly very precise with everything. But when we have a major inaccuracy, it's not just nitpicking. When you correct a misconception, some article claiming, for instance, that 2015 was not the warmest year on record, this is just inaccurate, right? It's not nitpicking. So these are really the stories we provide feedback on. When it's really just the small points, we would avoid providing too much negative feedback.
Now, you're also working on a project called a Scientific Trust Tracker. Could you tell us more about that?
The idea of the Scientific Trust Tracker is to collect all the feedback the scientists are providing and aggregate it by sources. So beyond the daily cycle of news and the buzz, you know, of new headlines coming out every day, the idea is to keep track of what happens at one publication, make it easy for readers to access so that they can see the track record of climate reporting by outlets.
This was Emmanuel Vincent, a scientist with the University of California. And this brings us to the end of this week's International Media, with me, Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel. You're listening to RFI. Do stay with us.